from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. We turn now to the question of who will become the next leader of Northern California's largest city, San Jose. Mayor Chuck Reed is termed out this year, and in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from Tuesday, San Jose voters will cast their votes for his successor. Unless one of the candidates receives over 50% of the vote, the top two will then go on to the fall general election. There are five leading candidates. Four currently sit on the city council, one on the Santa Clara County Board. To get an assessment of where the race stands, we're joined now by Larry Gersten, professor in the Department of Political Science at San Jose State University and author of Not So Golden After All, The Rise and Fall of California. Larry Gersten, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. We're joined as well by Mike Rosenberg, staff writer covering City Hall for the San Jose Mercury News. Mike, good morning as well.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you both on. It's a really interesting race, Larry Gersten. Chuck Reed has been mayor now for almost 8 years and has put a couple of things very much front and center in San Jose, particularly, of course, the issue of pension reform and the consequences of that on the police department. In some ways, Larry, is this election kind of a referendum on the tenure of Chuck Reed?
It's a referendum on Chuck Reed's tenure. It's also a referendum on pension reform. And I guess it's also a referendum on how the city can grow, because clearly under the current tax structure, there are some severe constraints, not only with respect to fewer police and public safety personnel, but also in terms of what the city can do with typical infrastructure issues.
And would you say that his tenure, which has been the issue of pension reform, of course, has been so controversial in San Jose, but also around the state, is that the issue that people are talking about most? Is this something that whether or not you're on the side of pension reform or have concerns from perhaps a union point of view, is that the issue that will drive this election, do you think?
Well, it's certainly going to drive it for some groups. We have to remember, this is going to be a low turnout race.
Yeah.
And so the kinds of groups that come out may disproportionately affect the income. So labor, for example, has a vested interest in this race, much more so than it might in others because of the pension reform issue. Likely, as well, business interests have a vested interest in this race. But as far as the everyday citizen goes, that's a harder one to get one's hands around. It's I don't hear people talking about that all the time. I hear it in different groups, but not in a widespread fashion.
Let's look at some of the candidates themselves, at least the ones that are getting the most attention. And we should note that there are more candidates than the ones we're going to be focusing on. But Mike Rosenberg, there are five candidates that seem to be getting the most attention, the ones that you've reported on the most. Four on the city council, Sam Liccardo, Vice Mayor Madison Nguyen, Rose Herrera, and Pierluigi Oliverio, all on the city council. And then Dave Cortese, the Santa Clara County Supervisor, formerly also on the city council and a former mayoral candidate as well. As you look at those candidates, Mike Rosenberg, who is there someone standing out at this point? I know not lots of polling has been done, but do you have a sense of sort of where the race may be tilting at this point?
Yeah, I think you've seen people pull away in some areas. One thing that's really had been an advantage for Dave Cortese, the Santa Clara County Supervisor, is that he really stands out from the other four candidates who are similar in some ways to one another. He has the union support, and as Larry mentioned, that's going to be big in a low turnout primary. But also, he's the only one not currently on the city council. So for people who really want a change in the direction at City Hall and don't like what Mayor Reed and the other city council members are doing right now, they're more apt to vote for Cortese because he's really been the one who's championed a vision of change compared to what the current City Hall is doing.
Give us a sense of what he's like. He's run for mayor in the past. What would be his, how would he be very different from Chuck Reed?
Well, he'd get rid of Measure B, the pension reform that voters passed in 2012, but that unions are now fighting in court. There's been some provisions of that have already taken effect that have saved the city about $20 to $30 million a year. But there are other several provisions that are more significant that the unions are fighting, the biggest one being to have current employees pay more toward their pensions. And that's something that obviously the unions don't want it could save the city a lot of money, but on the other hand, the police department and other employees, but particularly cops, have really been upset over that and have been leaving, and that's sort of created this big understaffed police department in San Jose. And that's really the number one issue in this race, is that the crime rate's been going up, the police response times have been plummeting, arrests have been plummeting, and this is a city that, you know, just last decade was the biggest safe city in America. And so that's something that city residents really aren't used to. And Cortese, his vision is to basically appease the cops, give them what they want, more or less, by getting rid of the outstanding pension issues that are in disputes. And sort of counter that would be from the other candidates that, well, if we do that, then the city will go into financial disarray because we can't afford to pay these pensions.
Mike Rosenberg, who covers City Hall for the San Jose Mercury News. Larry Gerson, do you agree with that assessment that Cortese has a big advantage in that he stands aside from the four city council candidates because of that different position on pension reform?
Well, he certainly does in this round, and I think that's really important. Remember, as you mentioned at the outset, unless someone gets 50% plus one, then there'll be a runoff in November. Now, with eight candidates, it's impossible to achieve. So let's give him that due, because he is the outsider. He's the non-city council member. As a supervisor, by the way, he covers more territory than the other city council members. Lots of name recognition. I mean, there's all these things going for him. But then when you get past June, if we dare look past June, it becomes Cortese versus, in a sense, all the others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets very, very interesting. That plus the fact the turnout will be higher in November. So you know, for me, I look at this as sort of a two-step arrangement. Right now, Cortese looks very strong and may well come in number one. But I'm not so sure that translates to victory down the road.
So if he's likely to be one of the individuals who will survive the June primary, Larry Gerson, let's look at the four others who are on the city council: Sam Liccardo, Vice Mayor Madison Nguyen, Rose Herrera, Pierluigi Oliverio. Interesting candidates, each in their own way. Take us, if you would, Larry, into that race a little bit and how they're trying to distinguish, because their task really is to separate themselves from each other, right?
Yeah, and I would divide these into two groups, frankly. The three front runners seem, at least from my perspective, to be Cortese, we mentioned, and Stan Liccardo, who am I missing here?
The vice mayor, Madison Nguyen?
Madison Nguyen, correct. And then Pierluigi Oliverio and Rose Herrera a bit further away, and we can go into that later if you want. Liccardo is the downtown candidate. He follows a tradition in the likes of Tom McHenry and others, business interests like him. He's very firm as an ally with Chuck Reed on pension reform. He's been firm in terms of being very clear that he'll work with unions, but he's not about to turn himself inside out to do it. He was a major BART supporter well early on, and has moved BART down the pipe to San Jose. He's attempted to add more police officers, and he's taken on most recently, and Mike can speak to this too, he's taken on the card rooms. That's become sort of a last-minute issue in this race, because they've found themselves in a good deal of trouble, at least for the moment, in terms of taxes and service fees and whatnot. And on the other end, Cortese has received, I think, at least $50,000 from card rooms. So that's a variable that gets into this race very, very late.
Tell us what that's about, Larry. I'm not familiar with that, card rooms.
There's
what?
A long history in San Jose with a couple of card rooms that, of course, bring in an awful lot of revenue to the city. But on the other hand, opponents have suggested that these card rooms are the cause of a good deal of trouble, both in terms of organized crime and using up city resources to deal with it. One particular card room, Matrix, it took the longest time to get this certified, and the most recent accusation is that Matrix has been withholding fees that are due to the city because of a convoluted ownership situation where there are all kinds of these shell corporations owning the money. How that breaks out remains to be seen. You know, 2 weeks ahead of the vote or whatnot. But it certainly could raise the profile of someone like Sam Liccardo, who's taken them on for some time.
If Sam Liccardo is sort of the downtown candidate, been endorsed by former mayors Kenry and also Mayor Hammer in the past. Is take us then to Vice Mayor Madison Wynn, Mike Rosenberg, who has a very compelling personal story. Came to this country from Vietnam as a child. Tell us something more about her, and if you share Larry's assessment that between the various city council candidates, that she is the other likely contender along with Sam Liccardo.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the biggest thing is that they have by far more money than the other two, Oliverio and Herrera, and that's really important in an election that's not getting wall-to-wall coverage the way a presidential or gubernatorial election would. You really need to have that direct outreach to voters, and Sam and Madison have that. As far as Madison Wynn's appeal, I mean, first of all, she's the vice mayor, which is the number two spot, and, you know, there's a certain psychology there to being sort of above the other council members, even though there's not necessarily more power with the vice mayor job. But more importantly, she does have that voter connection with a certain population of immigrants in San Jose, which make up a very large percentage of residents. And you're talking about the only non-white candidates, and Asians in San Jose make up one-third of the population, Hispanics make up one-third, and she really has galvanized those communities to support behind her because they see her as the only one that they can really connect with, in large part because of that story you mentioned. She's not sort of an old-timey, established, big machine politician. She came up from her own, made her own way, and she's very accessible. She interacts with the people in the community very well. And as Larry mentioned, in a primary community, you really need to have a strong base behind you. You only need 20 to 25% of the votes in that first round to move on, and she really does have a very clear base behind her.
Mike Rosenberg and Larry Gersten joining us as we talk about the race to succeed Mayor Chuck Reed, who is termed out this year. You can join us at 866-733-6786 if you have a question for either Larry or Mike about the race for San Jose. If you're a San Jose voter and you have questions or concerns about the mayoral race, who you might be looking for in a candidate, or if you have questions about the positions taken by any of the candidates, you can get a quick voter update here by joining us at 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. In some ways, Larry Gersten, it seems like Sam Liccardo is someone who's kind of involved in everything, as you were describing, from the cardroom thing. He's also taken some positions about the schools in San Jose, even though the mayor doesn't have anything to do with the schools. He's brought BART. He's active in pension reform. Madison Wynn, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be someone who has necessarily a long track record of city council causes or championed various concerns. Is that right? I mean, are they kind of opposites in that way?
Well, she's I guess I would say she's more broad in terms of what she wants to do. She doesn't zero in on nearly as many, you know, agenda items, but she basically wants to improve the economic environment, the infrastructure for transportation, potholes, street repairs, all these types of things, which, by the way, gets us back to the 800-pound gorilla, and that's a tax question, perhaps down the road in November. Wants to work with businesses and foundations to invest in education, and as you said, that's a non-starter because the mayor doesn't have anything to do with education. She's got these sort of broad strokes, but nonetheless, there's one other thing about Madison Wynn I think is kind of important is if in fact these are the top three, and you know, people will dispute that, but if in fact these are, there's something else about her that's different. That's she's a female.
And she's young.
San Jose has a long history in supporting females. And you know, if somebody's sort of caught on the bubble, what am I going to do? That may be something that helps them decide one way or the other. Not only is she an Asian minority, and as Mike said, two-thirds of the city are minorities, but that the gender issue could play and help her down the stream.
And she's also by far the youngest candidate, right? She's 39, I think.
Yeah, she's young. She's bright. She's always got a smile. She's very up. Some candidates are always talking about, oh, we're in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But she's got a very pleasant personality. How far these things go, when you talk about retail politics, is always a question. And once again, we're talking about a low turnout election.
Let's spend a moment on Rose Herrera and Pierluigi Oliverio, the other two city council members running for this office, Mike Rosenberg. Rose Herrera, though her last name would suggest that she might be Hispanic, is not. What do we know about either of them? Could either of them play a sort of spoiler role, perhaps, by taking votes from one candidate or another if they're not likely to be among the top two?
I think that's a good assessment. I think Pierluigi has the other candidates relatively concerned, because even though he doesn't have any endorsements in this race, he doesn't have a ton of money or experience compared to some of the candidates whose families go back a long way. He does really do a good job of interacting with voters. He's very charming. He's very funny. When you meet him one-on-one and talk to him, it's hard not to sort of like him as a normal guy as opposed to a politician. So even though he might not have the traditional metrics behind him to make it into the top two, he definitely is going to pull some votes away from people. And as far as Rose, she comes from the same district as Dave Cortese, and so there are a lot of neighborhood groups there that might support Cortese, I know, but have sort of had divisions on their boards about whether, well, some people deserve support Rose. So she's going to pull some votes away from him, and then, of course, she's the other woman in the race, so she's going to probably pull some votes away from Madison, but she probably seems to be the most likely to come in fifth in this race.
Larry Gerson, do you have a sense of who's got the best operation? I mean, as we were talking about low turnout primary races, the ability to turn out the vote, to have a particular constituency, does that point in anyone's favor? Madison wins because of her connections to the Vietnamese and Asian communities. Dave Cortese, because of his name recognition. Sam Liccardo, because he's got more money. I mean, do you have a sense of who might be able to sort of get their people out there?
You know, I guess to me that the two that probably have advantages more than the others would be Liccardo and Cortese. Liccardo, because he's raised so much more money from so many different sources and spent it well, gets the word out very successfully. I think some of that has to be attributed to his great fundraising capabilities. Cortese, because he's got the boots. The union supporters will want to come out for him. Very strong. Remember, you know, there's an awful lot of hurt here on all sides regarding a Measure B. And this is where the union unions can make their voices heard and their footsteps felt. And for that reason, I think that's a source, if you will, of power that may not translate into dollars per se, but is very large.
Your colleague, Mike Rosenberg, at the Mercury News, Scott Herold, wrote a piece about how sort of polite and nice this race was. Do you see that changing in the weeks ahead? Is anyone going to get sort of down and dirty? Are TV commercials going to start getting tougher? What do you foresee in that regard?
Probably not. I think a lot of people are sort of hedging their bets and waiting in case they get in a one-on-one race. Because in many ways, it is sort of that four-on-one mentality that we talked about at the beginning with the council members going against Cortese. Certainly that's how it's been when the five of them have gotten together in debates. I think people don't necessarily want to, the council members in particular, don't necessarily want to attack one another because they'll have to support the one of the candidates that they would have attacked once it gets down to a one-on-one race, if it is Cortese against one of the council members. And that's certainly the case with Mayor Reed, who stayed out of the endorsement race to this point. And I just don't see, in this round at least, anything getting really nasty. Now, once we get into the runoff one-on-one, that will probably change.
Some comments coming in. A listener tweets, Sam Liccardo got the Mercury News endorsement. I think that means he'll probably come in first or second in the primary. Reader writes, Chuck Reed has done immeasurable damage to the city of San Jose with his crusades, lack of vision, and isolation. The candidates must address those challenges going forward. One other thing I wanted to ask you about Larry Gerson in the short amount of time that that we have remaining is the question of vote by mail. Something like 70%, as I understand it now, of voters in San Jose vote by mail. And so while I'm talking about voter turnout and all of that, in some ways, that's sort of an antiquated term. Do you have any sense of what's going on with that and how that might affect this turnout?
Well, you're right. I mean, voting has been occurring for more than 2 weeks now.
Right.
A good portion of it's already in. And this gets back to the organization. Both Liccardo and Cortese, different sources, but the same idea. They're both able to mobilize their supporters and have been doing so for some time. So this is not the kind of thing where, okay, be sure to show up on election day, because you go into the election booth and you won't find anybody there. Most of the voting, 70%, perhaps more, will occur by then. And so the candidate or candidates who have been able to get the word out, make sure that their blocks are with them, make sure that they've actually sent in their absentee votes and whatnot, those candidates are going to fare much better. And that gets back to their organizational capabilities.
Mike Rosenberg, I'm not going to ask you to predict who you think will wind up coming in as the top two, but who would be the most fun? what would make the race the most interesting for you to cover going forward into the fall?
I mean, so from a strictly news standpoint, I think probably Sam Liccardo versus Dave Cortese, just because they seem to be the two biggest difference. They stand the most opposed to one another philosophically and ideologically, and they have a bit of a history, I think, of going toe-to-toe, and would probably be the most likely to get on one another's nerves and create a little bit of tension in the race. But really, any one of the council members going against Cortese would create the clearest choice for voters, because they do stand the furthest apart. If it does get, whether it's Madison Wynn versus Sam Liccardo or two council members going against one another, it will probably be harder for voters to really differentiate between them, because you start to get into different sort of nuanced plans for how they're going to do things, and not really wholesale differences.
Let me hold you there for a moment. Mike Rosenberg from the San Jose Mercury News, Larry Gerson joining us as well from San Jose State University. As you know, this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support our station, you can go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. Larry Gerson, I remember seeing an interview with you on television news on NBC3 a while back, when you said that you were a kid in a candy store with this sort of campaign going forward. What for you will be most interesting to watch in the weeks ahead, but also going forward into the fall?
Well, Barry, in your last question, I think there are two other names that I find kind of intriguing. One, we've talked about Madison Wynn, because San Jose is such a city of minorities, and the question is, can she tap into not only the Asian American community, which itself is not necessarily monolithic, but also the Latino community? And if she can, that brings this whole idea about 21st century California right to the fore, big city mayor representing all these minorities. So I think her story could be, for me, interesting in the runoff. And the other one, who I find to be just a character, is Pierre Luigi Oliverio, who is absolutely not sought endorsement. And not done all of these outreach efforts, other than one-to-one campaigning and going to various meetings, and he just marches to his own beat. And for that reason, you know, I would find it kind of intriguing to see what happens if he gets to. Does he have the gravitas? Does he have something beyond a topic sentence? He would be interesting to watch as well.
And how do you see, each of you, the big challenges, whoever this next mayor will face? I remember interviewing Chuck Reed a couple of years ago, I asked him what his dreams were for the city, and he had this really interesting answer that I've always remembered, which was, my job is not to have dreams. My job is to sort of fix the city's finances so that the next mayor can have dreams. Is San Jose poised to be able to embark upon big dreams, Larry Gerson? Is the city in position now to grow again?
I think the city's at a tipping point. Mike mentioned that San Jose was once known as America's safest city. Now these days, police are solving 30% of major crimes instead of 50% rate that's nationally. The city's eliminated 20% of its workforce. police officers are at under 1,000 when they're programmed for 1,400. I mean, these are all really important elements to consider in the life of a big city. And much of this may be addressed through a tax vote of some sort in November. And depending upon how the voters feel, I think that will tell us a lot about which direction San Jose moves in the years to come.
Mike Rosenberg, how do you see that? What are the whoever makes it through this process, what will be the key things they'll have to focus on, whether it's issues of finance, beefing up the police department, dealing with pension reform? What will be front and center for the challenge whoever this individual will now face?
Public safety is by far the biggest concern of voters. All the polls have shown over the last several months, and it's hard not to see why, with all the reasons Larry just mentioned, and also on the other side, the fire department has really been under criticism lately because its 911 response times have slowed rather dramatically and are by far the worst of any city in Santa Clara County. So those are sort of bread and butter issues for any town and things that voters are looking for their candidates to improve upon. And, of course, the issue is whether they actually have the money to do these things. And whether you're talking about the savings from pension reform or the potential revenue from the sales tax measure that could be on the November ballot, there's got to be some way for the city to raise extra money, because as it stands right now, they're basically have a flat budget this year, and they've forecast out for the next 5 years, and they're basically flat for the next 5 years. So there's really no avenue for them to start doing these big programs, adding hundreds of cops, adding, you know, dozens of firefighters, things that will actually improve these problems. So it really comes down to how are you going to raise the money needed to do these things.
Mike Rosenberg, staff writer covering City Hall for the San Jose Mercury News. Mike, thanks very much for giving us your insights into the race this morning.
Hey, thank you.
And Larry Gersten, professor in the Department of Political Science at San Jose State University, author of Not So Golden After All, The Rise and Fall of California, and for the next few weeks at least, A Kid in a Candy Store. Larry Gersten, thanks very much.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see how this all turns out 2 weeks from Tuesday. You can continue to follow the race here on KQED at kqednews.org. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi, with additional producing assistance this week from Tina Lorberg. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. We have online assistance from David Marks. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.